Hello, can you hear me? Welcome to episode 2. In the last few minutes, I've decided to completely switch up what I was going to talk about today. What I was going to talk about was kids, true crime, and the other end of the spectrum from kind of what I was talking about last week. Last week, I was talking about mysteries and how that dragged me into true crime. But something that I don't like about true crime is kids, missing kids, when there's no real mystery involved. But I'm not going to talk about that today. Maybe next week. Who knows? But when I woke up, I decided I'm going to tell a different story because I seen a comment about the crime scene leaks. And I don't think people fully understand what happened there. Mainly because nobody told him, so how would they? Everybody is too busy fighting with each other online about the contempt hearing, all that nonsense. I don't have time to fight with anyone, so I'm going to tell you all about it. Quick disclaimer though, do not take anything I say here as factual. This is more of a story time, and it's for entertainment purposes only. Yada, yada, yada. Wink, wink. But before I get into it, because we're not in any rush here. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, then please go back, listen to the trailer, listen to episode 1, and don't be listening to this on 1.5. Just relax. Chill out. This is a stress-free zone. There's no stupid ads that you have to skip through because this podcast is sponsored by my Patreon members. Check out the link in the description and please support if you can. But we're just chilling, having a chat. Please listen to this with headphones if you can. I'm not putting it on YouTube because I don't want people watching it and listening to it through their TV, which is how a lot of people consume my YouTube videos. I like it. I like having a little corner away from YouTube. It's much easier to not get caught up with a podcast. You don't have analytics in your face like you do with YouTube. The minute you upload a video to YouTube, they're shoving analytics straight in your face. YouTube is very clever like that. They use it to drive content creators mental. And it's a big reason, I think, why a lot of them burn out and quit. It's very easy to get caught up in it. It's not like that with podcasts. There's no apps sending me notifications. I'm going to check Spotify comments maybe once or twice a week because you have to approve them. That's kind of cool actually. Over on Spotify, you can put one question and one poll on each episode and people can vote on the poll and answer the question. You don't get that with Apple. They're kind of missing a trick there a little bit, I think. But that's all I have to do. There's no notifications or views. There's no analytics in my face. The only other time that I get something is I have a website now that emails me once a week all the reviews. And even that, I might change that to once a month after a few weeks. I'm going to read all the reviews, but I'm not going to let the really positive or the really bad ones change me, because I think it's dangerous to get too caught up in reviews. And like, for every 100 people that are on the internet that like you, you're going to get one who despises you and hates your guts and loves telling you how much they hate you and loves telling others how much they hate you. And a wise person who I know once gave me some great advice. He said the best way to stay true and authentic to yourself is to not let either get to you. I think that's great advice. But it's a lot easier said than done. It is. I opened that email last week immediately. And I was breaking it. I need to stop expecting negativity with this podcast. Because all the initial feedback has been really, really positive. Like everyone, literally 100%, has been so lovely in the comments and in the ratings. But I opened that email just expecting to see some negativity. I was like, there's definitely going to be one shitty comment there, one shitty review. But it was all really amazing comments that had me gleaming. And then, of course, because I was gleaming, I was like, no, rein that in. However, like, give me a break, because it was the first episode, so I was a bit like, oh geez, how's this going to go down? Like any normal person, I would think. And then loads of you left lovely reviews, 5-star ratings, which makes a huge difference to a new podcast. So I just wanted to say thanks, that's all. But anyway, back to the topic. Let me tell you about the Delphi crime scene photo leaks and a few weasels. I'm just going to explain my understanding of the situation, what happened, what went down, and why this whole contempt hearing is a waste of time. Andy Baldwin was not orchestrating or arranging leaks. There was no ongoing leak that Andy was like, oh, put this out there now. That's bullshit. And what's also a load of bullshit is what Hennessy is saying in his court filings. He's saying, oh, the prosecution is leaking also all this YouTube stuff he's trying to bring in. That's a load of bullshit. None of that is relevant. But it's not his job. It's not David Hennessy's job to tell you the truth or to get the truth out there. It's his job to defend his clients. And he's going to do that whatever way he feels is best. Whatever way he feels might get a result. So the contempt hearing for the crime scene photo leaks is bullshit. Everything the prosecution saying is bullshit. And everything Hennessy is now saying is bullshit. So nobody knows what the hell happened. But it's not that complicated. What is the root cause of all this chaos? What the hell happened and what is happening right now? Because some issues are getting intentionally, I think, hidden under the rug in all the drama. And this is just my understanding. And I'm opening to change in this. If new things come out, but nothing has come out at all to change my mind on what I think about this. I am speculating on some parts, on some dynamics, but it's informed speculation. A lot of screenshots are out there. I'm just going to talk about four people here. Andy Baldwin, Mitch Westerman, Robert Forson, and also, Robert is also known as Kyle. I think that was a second name. But I'm just going to refer to him here as Robert. And the fourth one, Mark Robert Cohen, who I'll be referring to as Manky Mark, Weasel Mark, Marky Weasel, I don't know yet. But Mark is the centre of the leaks. Once they got into his hands, it was game over. He's a weasel with a track record for wanting attention. A track record for being a weasel. This isn't his first rodeo. Like all this YouTube drama that Hennessy is trying to bring in and that everyone is fighting about, like that all came after Mark, because all the leaks came from Mark. He's everyone's source. If you trace it back from everyone that got the leaks, they all go through Mark. Every single one of them. We'll come back to him. But remember that once the leaks got into Mark's hands, it was game over and everything else is irrelevant in terms of people fighting who had what when. It's all nonsense because once they got into Mark's hands, we're done. the photographs are out there. So Andy Baldwin and Mitch Westerman are friends. They used to work together. Andy trusted Mitch. Attorneys are allowed to talk to other attorneys. Of course they are. And their ex-colleagues, he's allowed to talk to him about the case. He's allowed to discuss the case with him. He's allowed to get his opinion. He's allowed to bring him into his office and show him exhibits. Andy is allowed to get opinions of anyone. A good defence attorney should be talking to people who aren't attorneys also, because that's how you can get a feel for how a jury is going to react to a certain situation. But the point being here, Andy can and is allowed to have Mitch into his office, talk trial strategy, show him documents, get his take on certain things. That's 100% normal and a legal thing for him to do. So Mitch Westerman is basically in a non-paid consulting role for the defence, and he has access to a lot of information that we don't have access to. Is he allowed to talk to the public about what Andy told him? No, because Andy be like, what the fuck? I'm under a gag order, you can't do that. And he's also not allowed to take any of the exhibits. He's not allowed to take pictures of the exhibits. He's not allowed to take discovery items out of the office. And he's not allowed to take copies of them. And Mitch Westerman's current job, by the way, is ethics and compliance. So, nothing can go wrong, surely, no? Wrong. What a fucking joker he is. Imagine that, a job in ethics, and you pull a stunt like this. Right, so that's Andy and Mitch. They're ex-colleagues, and Mitch is basically a non-paid consultant for Andy. Mitch Westerman has a friend called Robert Forson. They both were in the Air Force together. That's how they know each other. They don't know each other from a Delphi subreddit, or they don't know each other from talking about this case online. They originally met each other because they were in the Air Force together, and that came out in court recently. And like, Robert served his country for years. Seems like he was a great dad. I'm not going to talk about him in a bad way in this podcast, because he's dead. He killed himself. And in fact, I can relate to a lot of Robert's thoughts, and some, not all, of his actions. Because, you see, what goes unnoticed in all of this is Robert isn't part of this weird Team Richard Allen hashtag movement. And it seems like it's very hard to pull the wool over what was very hard to pull the wool over Robert's eyes when it came to certain things. And that's what a lot of the conversations with Westerman and Robert were. It was Robert saying that he thinks Allen is evolved, and Westerman being like, no, he's not. This is why he isn't. And I can relate to that, because I talk to a lot of people who are 100% Richard Allen is guilty, and I talk to a lot of people who are 100% he's innocent. We don't shout at each other. I understand why they think the way they do. They understand why I think the way I do. I like these conversations. It gives me a lot to think about and fine tune some thoughts. I think it's healthy. I think, like, more of these conversations should be happening, but they're not, because people are too busy fighting with each other over stupid shit. So anyway, a lot of these conversations involving Westerman and Robert were Westerman trying to convince Robert that Allen is innocent, and Robert was pushing back, being like, well, what about this, what about that? Robert was conflicted I'm Rick Allen. Like me, from what I know, from what I can make out, he thinks Allen is likely BG because he's in a pickle. He's in a real pickle when it comes to his movements based off what we currently know. But Robert was also very confused about him carrying out this crime alone and also the crime scene. So that's the kind of dynamic that's going on between Robert Forson and Mitch Westerman. They're friends from the Air Force. They both follow this case and they're chatting about it. Westerman is a non-paid consultant for the defence, so he has a lot of access to information and documents and discovery items, basically. Westerman goes to visit Andy Baldwin one day, and Baldwin's in his office, and Mitch Westerman goes in to the conference room. So like what the attorneys will basically set up, a little war room. And at the time they were doing a lot of depositions, so people were coming down and they were interviewing them on the record. So they had a lot of the discovery items out on the table in the room. Now this room wasn't locked. That was a mistake by Andy Baldwin. He should be doing better there. But he also trusted Mitch Westerman, and they shared a lot of information. And Mitch Westerman went into this room alone, and some of the photographs were out on the table. And he took a photograph of the photographs with his mobile phone. That's how he got the photographs. Andy didn't give them to him. Andy didn't see him do it. He didn't have a clue. Mitch was in the room on his own when he did it. Mr. Ethics. Mr. Compliance. And over the course of his discussions, so him and Robert are having all these chats. Mitch is like, Alan is innocent. Robert's like, no, I don't think he is. He told him about the Frank's memorandum before it came out. He told him about the university professor before that stuff came out. And basically, over the course of these discussions that they were having, and on the back of what was going on with the Frank's memorandum, Westerman shared these pictures that he took on his phone of the sticks on the girls at the crime scene, and also of the F tree with Robert. For Robert's eyes only. It's disgraceful behaviour. Like, Mitch Westerman was trying to convince his friend Robert that the Franks isn't exaggerating those parts. Was it enough to convince Robert? Not really. Not really. And I'll talk about that more, maybe, in an upcoming Rick Allen Dirty Secrets video. So, Robert now has the photographs of the sticks and the photograph of the F on the tree. He got them from Mitch Westerman, and Westerman got them from Andy Baldwin's conference room. So you now have three of the four characters involved. The fourth one is Mankey Merck, the weasel. Robert was involved in Reddit and Facebook groups, and he got to know Merck, Mankey Merck, because Merck is a weasel, and he probably figured out very early on that this guy has good information, so he must have a good source. And they also start having private conversations, and at some point Robert lets Merck know that he has seen or has access to photos that back up what the defence is saying, some of what the defence is saying in the Frank's memorandum. So Merck the weasel now knows that Robert has something that he wants. He wants that bad. But Robert doesn't know this. He thinks Merck is alright. He has no idea how much of a weasel Merck is. So they go on to have many discussions about the Delphi case. And, like, Robert thought that Rick Allen was probably involved, but he also wanted a fair fight. So when he saw what Barbara McDonnell put out on Court TV after the Franks, he was fuming and confused, because he had the photographs and he knew what she put up on Court TV and what everyone was talking about was a load of bullshit. So he thinks Rick Allen is involved, but he also just wants a fair fight. And it started with the F. The F that Barbara said was the F. This was 2 days after the Franks. And Barbara goes on Court TV and she says, "I have a drawing of the F. This is what it looked like. I got a sketch of cops." And I can relate to seeing something on Court TV and just being like, what the hell is going on here? And starting to email people involved, not involved, but emailing people that I talked to the Delphi case about. So I can totally see why Robert was watching this and he had the photograph and he was like, what is going on here? What is she on about? But he was too caught up in this case, way too caught up in the case. And he decided, on the back of watching that on Court TV, he was hyped up and he agrees to give Mankey Merrick the photograph of the F, because he wanted the truth out there. Merrick is buzzing and he asks Merrick, he says, put this out there and put up a poll, because he thought that people were going to be convinced that in fact it does look like an F. Merrick goes off, he puts up his poll. Barbara McDonnell actually came out and said she doesn't believe that that photograph was genuine. The same photograph that was later confirmed to be true. So that would tell you what she knows. But anyway, the F3 photograph is out there now. And Robert is full of regret. He said he felt awful. He's on to American messages. He's like, I feel shit about that. But I just wanted the truth out there. And I want a fair fight. And remember, this is someone who thinks Rick Allen is probably guilty. And even when he saw what Court TV was doing, he was like, no, this is a disgrace. This is outrageous. Some time goes by and Merrick is encouraged by this because he got the F photograph. He's like, yes. He's like, what else can I get out of him? So he sets off to get the crime scene photographs off Robert. He weaseled them out of him, in my opinion. Constantly asking questions, asking for them to be described, asking this, asking that, annoying him in some questions by saying he doesn't think something is there when he knows it probably is. Just being a weasel. He's a weasel. Allegedly, in my opinion. So eventually, they come up with a plan to send photographs to Mankey Merrick in the background of another photograph for his eyes only. Not to be leaked out there like the F3. Robert thought he was his friend and he thought he could trust him. I'm not condoning that behaviour at all. That's disgraceful. There's no way he should have the photographs in the first place, because that's on Mitch. But then to be trusting a stranger on the internet like this, disgraceful. I can't and I won't make an excuse for that. But what I do understand is why he was fuming after the F3 photograph went out, and how he got caught up in this case. I understand that. I think maybe if I had the photograph of the F3 and I seen what Barbara McDonald put out, there's a chance I could probably send that photograph to one or two people. I'm not going to leak it. I'm not going to tell them, put it out there. But I trust people enough, which is probably dangerous, because last year and the people I trust this year are a completely different group of people. But I could do it. I could get caught up in this case. And there's at least two people that I trust enough that if I was watching Court TV and I seen what Barbara put out there and I had a photograph of the F3, I probably would be onto them an email and be like, that's bullshit. I have the photograph of the F3. Do you want to see it? Don't send it to anyone if I send it to you. And they'd be like, yeah, of course I want to see it. And of course I won't send it to anyone if you tell me not to. But that's dangerous. You need to be careful who you trust on the internet. When it comes to the crime scene photographs, no way would I be sharing them with anyone. And we're all really interested, especially at this time. This isn't about people wanting to see photographs of dead kids. It's not about that. It's about the sticks. It's about the runes on the girls. It's about how they were found. It's not about, oh, I got a photograph of a dead kid. Have a look at this. So eventually, Robert makes the big mistake of sending these photographs to Mark for his eye only. He trusted him. It was the worst mistake of his life. Once they got into Mark's hands, it's game over. He's a weasel. And it didn't take him too long to start leaking these all over the place. Left, right and centre, they were being sent without notice, without warning, without a heads up. They were just being emailed to people who followed this case online, mainly YouTubers. So it starts popping up in places, just photographs out, just crime scene photographs out. The sticks are real. Because, like the F3, Barbara McDonald also put sketches out there on that Court TV show of the sticks, which were shit. They were nothing like the sticks in the crime scene photographs. So everything what they put out on that Court TV episode 2 days after the Franks was a load of shit. And in my opinion, that caused a lot of this drama, a lot of this nonsense. They had a key role to play in all of this, but no one talks about that. No one talks about that because they're mainstream and because YouTubers want to get on Court TV, so they're not going to criticize them. And half the people on this case love Barbara and want to be on her good books, so that they can get information, so they're not going to criticise her either. I don't give a fuck though. I'll criticise anyone. I don't care. If I think you're up to something dodgy, I'm going to talk about it. So the photographs get into Mark's hands. Game over. Robert gets wind that photographs are out there. And he starts to panic. He's like, oh jeez, are these my ones? He calls Mark. No answer. He sends him messages over and over again. No answer. Mark just ghosts him completely. He just blanks him, ignores him. He doesn't give a shit because he got what he wanted. He got the photographs of him. And now he's getting loads of attention. He goes crying like a little baby, running to Annie and Carrot on the murder sheet, looking for more attention. They make 2 episodes telling us, and a lot of people go to Murder Sheet for Delphi stuff, and they immediately make 2 episodes full of ads telling us what a great guy Mark is and how he's one of their sources and they can vouch for him. They can vouch that he had nothing to do with this, and frankly, as Annie would say, Mark has been trying to stop these leaks. He's been trying to plug it. He contacted them. Lord of bullshit. So then they all go crying to the cops and they give them everything from Robert. Mark does a deal, allegedly, and goes off to Disneyland, allegedly, to spend all his GoFundMe money that he was raising for his daughter. Not going to talk about that because I don't know what the story is, but I do know Robert donated, I think, $500 to that GoFundMe because he liked Mark. He thought they were friends. He thought his daughter was sick. Maybe she is. I don't know. I'm not going to say there's anything dodgy going on there. But, you know, it's coming from a guy who's done a lot of dodgy things in the past. And what also happened with that GoFundMe is a lot of donations were made, in my opinion, to curry favour with Manky Merk so that he would send them crime scene photographs. Can you imagine that? So that's Merk, the weasel. He goes crying to the cops, even though he caused all of this. Jerry Holman rocks up to Robert's house. And Robert is like, oh, fuck. Robert asks for an attorney 6 times. But that doesn't stop Holman from badgering him, from threatening him, telling him he's fucked, basically. Telling him he's goosed. And that he's going ringing Judge Gull right now if he doesn't say everything. If he doesn't say what happened, where did he get the photographs from, who did he give them to, because they know from someone that they got them from him. But guess what? Robert only gave the photographs to one person. One. And that person was Mackie Merk. They leave after badgering Robert for ages. And he's shook. He's devastated. He's disgusted with himself. He's embarrassed. He's betrayed by Merk, who is now ghosting him. And he screwed his friend over. He screwed Mitch Westerman over. Because he gave the photographs to Merk. And now Mitch is going to get nabbed. And that's why he didn't talk. He just didn't want to give up his friend. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know they knew the photographs definitely came from him. Because he didn't know that Merk the Weasel had gone crying to the cops after causing all this chaos. So he's devastated. He doesn't know what to do. He's disgusted with himself. And a short time goes by. This is all allegedly. Allegedly. A short time goes by. And there was a commotion in Robert Forson's neighbourhood. Just down the road from Robert, something was going on. And Robert, he heard all the sirens and the police cars. But he doesn't know that there's something going on. He thinks, allegedly, that they are coming for him because of what Jerry Holman said to him. He goes to the garage and he shoots himself in the head. Tragic. What a shambles. What a mess. Mitch Westerman gets arrested. He's charged and he has a trial coming up soon. Nick McLean got access to all Westerman's private messages, which might be more damning than the photographs for the defence, because he'll have access to a lot of their strategy. Manky Merk, the weasel, he's given a deal, allegedly, and all hell breaks loose on YouTube. Alan's attorneys are kicked off the case with no hearing, no merits, no records. He gets new attorneys. His old ones go to the Supreme Court and they get back on. And now Gull is holding another contempt hearing because Nick McLean is saying that they intentionally leaked these photographs and they should be kicked off the case because they're constantly leaking. David Hennessy is throwing dirt everywhere. He's saying, we don't know all the photographs came from Mitch. He's blaming the prosecution for leaking. He's saying they're leaking things to YouTubers, which they aren't. There's a lot of receipts out there to prove that David Hennessy is full of shit. And he's saying Barbara McDonald had those photographs. Where did she get them? But she could have them in years. All that matters is what happened after the gag order. And I don't think the prosecution has been leaking anything after the gag order. And I also don't think there's any ongoing intentional leak coming from the defence. The whole contempt hearing is bullshit. And as for all the YouTube drama that's happening, I don't give a shit. I don't care about that. What a waste of time. Doesn't help the bigger picture of getting justice for Abby and Libby, in my opinion. Judge Gull, I think, was going to remove them. However, no, she's not. She'd probably just give them a slap on the wrist. But everyone is just wasting their time filing motions about this contempt hearing. Like, they should be preparing. Both sides should be preparing for a trial for the thing that actually matters, not this. The whole thing is just a waste of time. Mitch has been charged for taking the photographs. He's gonna try and get off with that. I think they're trying to say, technically, he didn't steal anything. He just took pictures of them. And that's not illegal. I don't know. We'll probably get a lot of information from his trial. But he's been prosecuted for what he did. He's the one that took the photographs. What Robert Forson did, he didn't do anything illegal. Unethical, yeah. Stupid, completely. But it's not illegal. And that man, on the back of whatever Jerry Holman said to him when he was badgering him, he killed himself. There's a little girl now, and her dad is dead because of this nonsense. He was a good dad, and for the rest of her life, she's going to know her dad killed himself because of this situation, allegedly. That's probably a bit of an unfair thing to put on people, because you could very easily say his death is because of Mitch, because of Mankey Merrick, because of Jerry Holman, but he did it himself. If someone does that, I'm not going to speak too much about it, but if someone does that, they're probably not in the best place. Anyway. And maybe down the road, that would have happening anyway. But this certainly escalated things. That's all I'll say. It's just sad. It's just sad. I'll leave a link in the description of this podcast to Robert Forson's obituary. Go have a read and you'll see what kind of man he was. And you'll see the comments from people also that left comments, the condolences that people posted on there. It's just very tragic. It's very sad. There's mass confusion about what happened because of the contempt hearing, which is bullshit, and because of what the prosecution is saying and what the defense is saying. You have YouTubers who don't talk about it because everyone seems to agree that Mark is the center of the leaks. But people don't want to talk about it because it outs them, it outs their connection. And I think also because they don't like agreeing with each other. At the end of the day, the truth is the truth, and that's not going to change. So that's it. That is my understanding of what happened and the situation. And don't take anything I said as 100% factual either. But that's my take on it, after trying to find out as much as I could. A waste of time. There shouldn't be a contempt hearing. Andy Baldwin didn't do nothing wrong. Basically, everything that David Hennessy has said in court filings is bullshit. I'll give you one good example, actually. Because I've said a few times that Hennessy is full of bullshit in some of those court filings. A lot of those court filings. And I'll give you one good example with a good receipt. So, one of the people that Hennessy kept mentioning was a YouTuber called Fig Sols. And Hennessy was using loads of bullshit screenshots, basically, to say that the prosecution is leaking to Fig Sols. He knew about the bullet that they got before they released it. How did he know? He must have known because Nick McClelland must have told him, right? That's what he's saying in court filings. One of his witnesses was also a lady by the name of Julie Melvin. She wasn't on the stand for very long. It got shut down because it's irrelevant, because it was bullshit. It got shut down fast. And there's photographs out there of Julie and David Hennessy having lunch. So it's kind of funny to me how Hennessy has fake solves in court filings saying that he knows about the bullet because Nick McLean told him. But the real reason fake solves knew about the bullet was because his witness, Julie Melvin, told him. She told him in a recorded conversation. She didn't say a bullet was found, but she had information that a gun was taken for ballistic testing, and they were speculating correctly that the only reason a gun would be taken for ballistic testing was because they're trying to match it to a bullet, and they were speculating that a bullet was fired. They were close. A bullet wasn't fired. It was cycled through a gun, but that's still ballistic testing. So here's the clip of Hennessy's witness, Julie, and fake solves having that conversation.
So later I asked Brad Weber, can you tell me what was the type of gun that they took? And he said, they took my Sig Sauer. I said, what caliber was it? He said, 40 caliber. So I asked Kay, I said, why did they take it? He said, they specifically said they were taking it for ballistics testing. I said, ballistics? So they think that, so there, that tells me maybe there was something fired out there.
Right.
40 caliber. So that's it. That's the information that nobody else would know, and the police aren't going to tell you that. But right. I just...
And like, there's loads of ways that things can get out into the public without Nick McLean calling up YouTubers and telling them about it. I think Hennessy knows a lot of the stuff is bullshit, but like I said, he's just doing his job. He's just trying to defend them. But the whole contempt hearing is just a waste of time. What a waste of time. Like, it's a distraction. Both sides need to be preparing for a trial that is coming next month. You've got a trial next month. Why are you wasting your time with this? And of course, obviously, I feel so bad for the family of the girls, because these photographs are out there and they were put out there. Like, I'm not in any way playing it down or saying that it should have happened. What I'm saying is Andy Baldwin didn't orchestrate this. There is no ongoing leak. And also, from the other side, the prosecution isn't leaking either. The whole thing is a waste of time. And it's so unfortunate that they got out there. It really is. Like I said last week, this family, the families of the girls, are being slowly tortured. And unless they get some really good answers next month, that's not going to end for a while yet. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed we get some answers. I have to go. I have to go. My phone is vibrating. I hope you enjoyed my little story. So I will talk to you next week. Good luck. God bless. And thanks for tuning in.
I spent.
So